Chapter 10. Two Bodies. Felicity, 1988. Felicity woke up early and went into the garden. Suddenly, Jenna was next to her, wearing one of Alex's jumpers.
"Is Rachel up?"
Felicity asked, and Jenna shook her head. Then Felicity told her about Rachel's parents hitting her and how Rachel was planning to escape to Thailand with Andy Teague. Jenna thought that it was a terrible idea.
"He attacked a girl in my class," she said. "Rachel might let me tell Grandma, and she'll know what to do," said Felicity.
"You know, Andy used to wait for me at the bus stop," she continued, "but he didn't speak to me. And then he came here yesterday."
"He was probably looking for Rachel,"
Jenna said, to make Felicity feel better.
"We should all stay here today, with the gates locked, until Grandma gets back tomorrow morning," said Felicity.
Felicity was in the kitchen with the radio on, and Jenna was out in the swimming pool. Suddenly, Felicity turned round to see him at the kitchen door. All she could see was green, green with black triangles. Andy Teague was standing there.
"Is Rachel here?"
he asked. Felicity wanted to tell him to go away, but her voice did not work. She stepped back.
"Don't look so scared," he said gently. "I'm Andy, Rachel's boyfriend. When Rachel told me about her rich friend, I thought that I'd like to be your friend too. So here I am."
From the corner of her eye, Felicity saw Jenna appear behind Andy. She could hear Rachel coming downstairs. Everything was black triangles.
"How old are you?"
Andy asked, stepping closer.
16,
Felicity whispered.
Andy smiled. "Don't be scared," he said, and reached out to touch her face.
His other hand went straight to her chest. Without thinking, Felicity bit his finger, and at the same time, Jenna hit him on the head with the doorstop.
"No!"
Rachel screamed. Andy fell down, not moving. Jenna was screaming.
"I didn't mean to do it! I didn't want him to hurt you! Is he dead?"
Time stood still. Rachel looked at Jenna.
"What have you done?"
she cried, trying to wake Andy. Felicity walked over to Jenna and heard herself saying,
"I'm pleased that you did it."
There were no more triangles, and her mind started to clear.
"We have to hide the body," she said. "We can't call the police, because Jenna would go to prison. No one knows that Andy was here. We could drop him off the cliff, so that it looks like he's fallen."
Just at that moment, Alex walked into the kitchen.
"What?"
He stared at them in shock as Felicity explained what had happened.
"I heard what Andy said to you, and I'm sorry,"
Rachel told Felicity.
"And I don't want Jenna to go to prison either. But Jenna, you killed him."
Jenna ran out of the room.
"We can't drop him off the cliff," Alex said. "The police would come here, because our house is the only one at the top of the cliff, and they'd ask us questions."
"I'm not lying to the police, but I won't tell them either,"
Rachel said.
"I don't want to ruin your lives. Andy was being horrible to you, Felicity, but it's terrible that he's dead. So I'm going to leave. And I promise
that you'll never hear from me again. I'll go to Penzance and get a train.
Where will you go?
Felicity asked.
I might go to London or Bristol. I'll change my name and disappear.
I'll drive you to the train station, said Alex, and take my bank card. There are a few hundred pounds. Take all the money and then throw the card in the sea. I'll say that I lost it.
Felicity knew that she would never see Rachel again. Sanara, 2022.
I went up to my bedroom at Cliff House. Mum put her arm around me. She was holding me so hard that it hurt.
You don't understand what you've done, she said.
No, I don't. Is this because of Rachel Thomas? I asked.
No, you know nothing about Rachel.
Why did you have to say that about her?
Mum said.
Now the police are going to dig everything up and do DNA tests.
Isn't that good? I asked, confused.
We could go away, Mum said, standing up. You could live with your dad.
Mum, what's happening? Why are you saying these things? You're really scaring me.
Outside, the sky was a soft blue. It was early on Sunday morning, and I still had not slept.
We need Felicity here, and Alex too, Mum said.
Mum, were you friends with Felicity and Alex and Rachel? I said.
Yes, I used to be.
Then Mum said that she would ask Clem for Alex's number and told me to sleep. I did not want to let her go, so she sat with me until I fell asleep.
Martha, 1946. Martha took Violet's family name. She stopped being Martha Driscoll and became Martha Roberts. Martha Driscoll had lost everything. Martha Roberts had a life, a home, and a family.
I was evacuated here during the war, and I never went home, she told people.
Everything except Aubrey got better after the war. One wet summer night, when Martha was 16, she opened her bedroom window, wanting to feel the rain on her face. She did not hear Aubrey coming into the room behind her. He put his hands on her shoulders and tried to push her out of the window.
You,
he kept saying,
you.
But he was not a strong man anymore, and when Martha pushed him away, he fell.
Violet, help me,
she screamed. By the time Violet arrived, Aubrey had left the room. They heard him running upstairs to the top floor. And then they saw him falling past the window. They knew that he was dead before they got to his body. He left Violet a letter explaining why he had killed himself. He asked her to tell Martha that he was sorry. They stood by his broken body.
This is what he's wanted for years, said Violet.
Violet was frightened of people knowing what Aubrey had done. At that time, killing oneself was a crime, and this also meant that Cliff House might be taken away from her.
We're going to bury Aubrey, Violet said, here, in the garden, where he'll be at peace. We'll tell people that he went to a hospital in Scotland.
They buried Aubrey in the corner of the garden with his watch, which was a gift from his parents. Violet planted a camellia there and would not let the gardeners touch it. Josie, 2022.
On Sunday evening, Clem pulled Josie angrily into the sitting room.
I need to show you something. You too, Meg, Clem said.
Gareth was already in the sitting room with a policewoman. Rick and Sonara were both asleep upstairs. Then Clem played the film that Gareth, Josie and Sonara had made in January.
You stole this from my house yesterday morning. Turn it off, shouted Gareth.
But Clem refused.
I want to show the police who you three really are, she said. I want them to know what you said about my family.
When the film finished playing, Clem shouted,
Get out and never speak to me again.
The policewoman looked at Clem.
I don't care what your friend said about your family, and they can't leave Cliff House without an adult.
Meg took Josie's hand with one of hers and reached for Gareth with the other.
Let's go to another room, she said.
Don't go, Meg, said Clem. You're with me.
Meg went out without looking back.